This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
So here we are again. It's the Sue Freeze Show. And listen, if you're listening right now and you're going to hear things that I think you're going to want to share. So if you hear something that you want to share, don't get stressed out about it, because you can go to the Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can share whatever it is you hear or that you think should be heard by somebody that you know and love. You can share it with them by having them go to the website, and every show is podcasted. And on that webpage, there's also Helping Hands, which has checkoff lists and things like that. And also, if you know, during the holiday season, anytime for that matter, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling down, there's going to be suggestions on what you can do to pull yourself up, scriptures that you can lean on that might give you a little bit of relief in a time when you're feeling down. Because you know what? We all get down. There are times when we get down. And when we get down, you know, the Lord says, you know, pick your brother up. Be there for your brother or your sister. And so we are there to love one another. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And so if you're feeling down, what I would suggest is bring it to the Lord. Ask the Lord what you can do to make a difference in this world. Get yourself out of your place of sadness and be a blessing to someone else. And not just for the holidays, but any time. I would say that's a really good recommendation to follow. Today on the show, we have somebody that I've known from a distance, really, for quite a long time, because we went to the same church. And I used to see him and I'd see his wife, and they're both very heavily involved in the church, in ministry. And to watch them, they're quite the mentors and quite the witness of Christ like living is. And so I want to introduce Bob Brooks. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Sue. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And you have a great voice.
Thank you.
I love it. And I'm going to just explain a little bit. I mean, you sent me over a bio, and it's like 4 pages long. I mean, you are amazing. And you said, well, I've lived a long time. And but even people that have lived not as long as you have don't have the list of things that you've done and accomplished. And what a witness to God that is. So I'm just going to explain a little bit. Right now, what you're doing is you're a professor, Pepperdine University leadership and security consultant, and an author. So you're writing a book?
I am.
Oh, my goodness. What's the book about?
The book is going to be entitled Declarations That Lift You Above Your Circumstances to a Life of Purpose and Joy. And it's based on the Apostle Paul's strong declarations in the book of Philippians that I've kind of customized for my own purposes, and I've used it in leadership training, and it's been borrowed by other people, and I always thought, I want to put that in writing and tie it to some real-life stories of people that have lived out those values. So it's one of those bucket list things that I had in mind, and when I retired, I thought I'm going to start.
So would you recommend a bucket list to anyone?
You know, a bucket list is kind of designed as something to do while while you still have time. But I've always done forward planning for everything. I really believed I was accountable for my time and wanted to do all the things that I did strategically. And so I've always lived by lists of goals. That's something that I started probably in my late 20s, and I've just refreshed that now that I'm in retirement and have a little more flexibility in deciding what those goals are.
You're so articulate, Bob. You really are articulate.
Okay.
It's amazing to listen to you talk. I want to be as articulate as you when I grow up. I truly do. You know, you talk about goal-oriented, and I'm a goal-oriented person, too. And I always say you don't know when you've arrived if you don't know where you were going. So it's good to know where we are right now, and that's good for all of us to assess where we are in life and ask ourselves, are we where we want to be? And if we're not where we want to be, then we need to have a plan on how to get where we want to go. And we need to bring that to the Lord, I would say, and say, God, is this what you would want for my life? And if it is, then you make a plan, and you work the plan. Is that what you do?
Absolutely.
Right.
And without the stimulus of some tangible goals, I find I can squander an awful lot of time. So
wow,
I'd rather be directed
true?
By some specifics that take my life where I believe God has intended for it to go.
Absolutely right. So we're created for a purpose. We need to fulfill that purpose, you know, God's plan for our lives using our gifts that he has given us. And being goal-oriented is like running the race for the prize.
Right.
Yes. So Bob Brooks, he has recently completed his third elected term as the sheriff of Ventura County, and in that capacity served as the chief of police for five contract cities, the director of emergency services for Ventura County, and the mutual aid coordinator for the Central Coast region of California. And if that wasn't enough, he served a population of over 850,000 residents through regional services such as the jail system, forensic laboratory, air unit, and the courts. He provided direct patrol and investigative services to approximately half of the county population through the efforts of 1,200 employees and a budget of what?
250 million.
Oh, my goodness sakes. That's a lot of money to be in charge of.
It's a tremendous amount of
I can't even imagine being in charge of that type of money. That is amazing.
Well, one thing the federal government could learn, if you use the principles you would use on your personal checkbook and just add zeros, everything would turn out all right because you'd have to be responsible. So it's not as daunting as it might seem.
You know what? That is so true. That is so true. It's all relative, and we have to be stewards with what we've been given, and then we might be given more if we did well with what we were given.
That's right.
Yes. You also served on numerous boards, including the Boy Scouts, YMCA, City Impact, and Life Pacific College. You've been recognized as the Leader of the Year. Oh, man, that's great. Man of the Year. I was Businesswoman of the Year, Bob, last year. By several, I know, that's pretty cool. By several law enforcement or charitable organizations. You have also been recognized in the Congressional Record for my professional accomplishments, for your professional accomplishments in helping to keep Ventura County among the safest urban areas in America. And you know what? I've had the privilege of being part of that county. And you know what? It feels really good to be in a safe environment. It really does.
Well, it's a wonderful county and a very supportive county to law enforcement. And it's been a privilege to serve. And it's a tremendous sense of responsibility knowing that people count on you not only to have places where they are safe, but that they feel safe. And the perception of safety is almost as important as the reality.
That is true. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on flagship station KKLA 99.5. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Bob Brooks. And we are talking about a lot of different things, but we're talking about goal setting, and we're talking about making a difference in this world. And each of us have a specific purpose that we were created for by God to, be significant, to do something significant. And we all can do that. And we think we're just one little person. And how much can one little person do? But you know what? We can do great things because God's in charge. We just have to ask for direction and then just be faithful and be an open vessel and be a servant for his glory. And that's what we're called to do. If you're just tuning in, also, you can go to Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can share this podcast. You could hear it again. You can also stream live on KKLA.com, and you can stream live if you have to get out of your car. So just know that you don't have to be in your car to listen. You can listen on your computer, too, which is wonderful that we've come to this, to where we don't have to sit in our car for a whole hour to hear a show. It's pretty nice, huh? So, Bob, I understand you recently retired.
Yes.
So tell us about your career.
Well, I've been with the department for 37 years, and when I first began, it was my only goal was to become a deputy sheriff. I couldn't imagine anything better. I'd gotten married very early. I only had 1 year of college. I didn't have any specific skills or training, and this was kind of my one shot with the package of that I was bringing to the job of starting a career. And 2 or 3 days into the academy, I decided this is what I want to do for my working life, and it's been a blessing to me. It's opened tremendous doors of opportunity to share my faith, to be an example, to work with some of the most dedicated men and women you could find anywhere doing something I believed in. So it's been a terrific career, and after 37 years, I kind of wondered what it would be like to, not put on a badge and a gun and go to work. The transition has really been much more pleasant than I thought it would be.
So were you nervous about retiring? Because you had worked so many years and you knew your job so well. Were you nervous? What did it feel like when you were reaching retirement?
Well, it felt like a great relief when I finally did it. And, you know, I'd been carrying the pressure of being sheriff, and, you know, the buck stops there on things that are completely out of your control, and you're worried about terrorists and natural catastrophes and crime and all of those things, and you know, a large workforce. You know, the first day I didn't have to do that. I could just feel, you know, it's like you took a backpack full of weights off of your shoulders, and I had the freedom to direct my life, you know, in other places, try things I'd never been able to try. So I still interact with a lot of the people from work. We get together. We have some wonderful friends and great leaders that I've treasured working with. But leaving the career and starting something new has really been a lot easier than I thought. And what little anxiety I had about that was quickly dissipated, and the time started filling up quickly.
So, you know, being married as long as you have, and Debbie, you know, working right alongside you, and you working right alongside her, was the transition as far as your married life, did that change a lot or not?
Well, she had
heard
a lot. You're
laughing. What are you laughing? You're giggling.
Well, because her friends had all told her, don't let your husband retire. Find something for him to do. Get him out of the house. You know, they'd had real bad experiences with husbands following them to the market and dogging their steps all day long. I think we've done fine because she has so many other interests, and she's very involved in the women's ministry at church and her group of friends at tennis and book clubs. And so, you know, I told her, your job is not to entertain me. You know, I'll find things to do. We like being together. We like doing things together. I can't speak for her, but I think it's, you know, it's been nice for her to have me around to help with some things. And I think it's been good for our marriage.
That's awesome. You know, I just recently had a show with the grant, the person that does the grant, getting the money into to Johnny and Friends. I just had an interview with that person, and you're involved with them too.
Yes, we have been for 8 years now. A good friend of ours that worked at Johnny and Friends, Sam Buxton, one day walked up to me after church and said, how would you like to go to Peru with us? And without thinking and really without even asking Debbie, I just said yes. You know, and I knew she'd be fine with it, and that his invitation just really coupled with a desire I've always had in my heart to do something like that. Our kids were getting older. We had the freedom to do those kind of things. And so we started going to Peru 8 years ago and have gone every year and are now team leaders in that country.
Yeah, it's amazing because there's so much there. I mean, you know, it started off with this accident and this woman who was 17, and now it's grown into such a huge, huge ministry. And it started with her saying, God, if I can't leave this earth, you know, show me how I can be used. And that is an amazing message for all of us, isn't it? It's like no matter where you are in your life, there's somebody that's worse off than you are. And no matter where you are in your life, you can make a difference. It's just a matter of you wanting to. You have to have that desire, and you pursue it, and you can make it happen. And part of what I heard you say, Bob, you know, there's a lot of things said without being said. You know, I'm surprised that you would make a decision without Debbie, but I think because you've been married so long that you'd know what she would want and not want. But, you know, married couples, they should be talking back and forth and asking questions. It's like, okay, how do you feel about that? But in this case, you knew she would be on board because you guys probably had already discussed about doing something in missions to this regard. So, right?
Yeah. We both had a desire to do that, and we've talked about that in the past, and we both love the ministry of Johnny and Friends, and so I knew it would be. She had veto power, but I knew that she wouldn't say no.
Okay, hear that, husbands.
And we found, you know, very early on, the first stop that we made was in Lima, and within a day or two, we both had encounters with young children that really secured our heart to that ministry. And I was working with a girl that had cerebral palsy, and took a couple of hours to modify her wheelchair, and she had kind of a smile on her face, and you couldn't tell if that was just because of the distortion of her face or if it meant anything. She didn't talk. There wasn't any interaction, and I didn't think she was capable of that. And then when we finally got her comfortable in the chair and got her ready to leave, her mom went over to her, and she put her ear close to her mouth, and she said she wants, you know, Maria wants to tell you that she loves you. And I thought, that's it. I'm bought and paid for. We're coming back. My wife has had the same kind of experiences very early on, and we have just loved being able to do that every year and do it together as a couple at this stage of life.
Yes, that's amazing. You know, Bob, I wonder what it was like growing up as a kid in your household, being, you know, Sheriff being your dad. What was it like for your sons?
Oh, for my sons.
Yes. Okay. You know, I mean, living in your household, having dad be the sheriff, you know, I mean, I wonder what it was like for them growing up.
Well, for the most part, it was fun for them, you know, when they were little guys, I'd stop by with a patrol car, and they'd get to sit in there and turn on the siren for their friends, and you know, take their kids with their friends on a tour of the station, and go out to the academy, and ride in the helicopter, and they got to do a lot of fun things over those years. You know, when they got into their high school years, it wasn't quite as cool for the most part. They're just great kids, and I'm really proud of how they've turned out.
How have they turned out? What are they doing now?
Well, my older son is a contractor in Texas. He started a business there. He was actually a police officer, was injured in a pursuit, had to retire early, and went to Texas to start over again because the cost of living was lower. But God's really blessed them there. His business has just taken off. He's married and has two children, so we have grandkids in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And my younger son lives in Ventura, not far away from us. He's a program manager, for the County of Ventura in the Information Systems Division. So they're doing really well, and it's fun to watch them grow up and mature and make good decisions.
Absolutely. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on the flagship station, KKLA 99.5. You can stream on KKLA.com, or you can click on and listen live on Saturdays 4 to 5. Also, you can go to the Sue Free, spelt like fries, oneword.com, and listen to this podcast if you miss something or if you want to share it with someone. Be sure and go there. And at the end of this program, I'm going to be talking about some things that you can do when you're feeling down, and especially for the holidays. I kind of realized that this year I'm not going to be doing very much during Christmas Eve. And so I wanted to put it out there that if you want to go on the website and talk with me, I want to be there for you. So if someone's feeling like they don't have someone to connect with, I want to be there, and you can connect with me. This is the Sue Free Show, and SueFries.com, spelt like fries. So a lot of people mess that up, but that's okay. So I also understand you've been to Haiti this year. Right, Bob?
This February, a friend that we go to Peru with called and said, we're short of a mechanic, and we're going to Haiti with Johnny and friends.
Mechanic.
After the earthquake, I had friends that have gone there in short-term missions. I'd heard a lot about how desperate things were. It was one of those things I really felt a pretty quick urging that I was supposed to. So I did join them on that trip. It's an incredible place. You know, they may have lost up to 3 million people in the course of the earthquake, and they have a 500,000 orphans and a million people still living in tents. It's hard to even get accurate figures there.
Very devastating.
There's really no semblance of government. Disease is rampant. You know, there's no hygiene. There's no law enforcement to speak of. The government's corrupt. It's almost universal unemployment, and there's just a sense of hopelessness. When people would come into the doors to get a wheelchair, you'd see this blank expression like you see people who've lived through a battlefield experience, almost mm-hmm. like shock. They just live for today. They don't have aspirations for tomorrow or next week or next month getting better. It's just, can I make it through today and be alive, and can I keep my kids alive, and will we have enough to eat? We had children who, when they had hunger pains, the parents would mix vegetable oil with dirt and heat it up and have them eat that because it would take care of the immediate hunger pangs. There's no nutrition, obviously, and you're tearing your insides up, but they're living for the moment, trying to get to the next moment. So it was quite an experience.
It just tears at your heart, doesn't it?
Oh, well, the need is so overwhelming, and you know that you can't come close to meeting it, but as a result of that trip, I introduced our pastor of our church, New Hope Christian Fellowship, to our leader for the trip, the Johnny and Friends trip, and their hearts just resonated together about reaching people in that kind of need, and we're putting together a group from our church to go back and work with kids in an orphanage, do a vacation Bible school, and rebuild one of the churches that's collapsed. The pastor that we met there had a church of 300 people. His home was destroyed. His church was destroyed. He has 300 people that meet in the open air there, which is pretty tough because their weather's extreme, and only one of them has a job. because he lives in the slums, the worst slums in the city. Mm. So anything you can do in that environment, not only to bring them some physical relief, but also the fact that there's good news in Jesus Christ, even for people that are living in that kind of poverty, makes it certainly worth our effort.
Absolutely. Our National Pest Control Association has gone over there twice because of the bug problem and the bugs that cause disease. So they've gone over there to see what they can do to help in the hospitals to keep the flies out that fly on the wounds and things like that. So I saw some videos from our group that went over there that just made me cry. I mean, it's just heart-wrenching to see how people are living over there right now. So
it's the poorest country on earth, and it's the most hopeless country on earth, and nothing really works. And the sad thing is, 30 miles away, the other half of the island, the Dominican Republic, is flourishing, and they have tourism, and real estate prices are going up, and it's the difference in leadership between the two halves of that island.
Leadership's important, isn't it? You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we're talking to Bob Brooks, who has been the sheriff for how long?
12 years.
12 years. And you were responsible for, I can't even imagine, the number of people and the decisions that you've had to make. And, you know, Bob, seeing you in church and everything, you always are smiling. And, you know, running a business, I only have 50 employees, and I know how hard that is. So it's just amazing to me, you know, and the strength is from the Lord, obviously. But, I mean, it's just you always had a smile on your face, and you'd never know that you were under such stress.
Well, you know, I look forward to going to work every day, and a lot of that was because of the quality of people that I work with. Our leadership core was they were good personal friends. They were people of character, people that really carried a lot of the weight that otherwise I would have had to have carried. And the quality of our employees is they're dedicated people that are given to a life of service to their community. And they're just a joy to work with. You know, not that every single one of them is good all the time, but overwhelmingly they are. And that made it, that and the fact that I really believed in what we were doing made it a joy to be there. And I considered it an opportunity that the Lord, you know, brought about, that I didn't feel that I was certainly the most qualified person to do it, but it gave me the grace to get through those years, and I'm tremendously proud of what we were able to do together.
And you did quite a bit. And you're still going. You're going strong, man. I mean, you know, all the accomplishments that you're still doing, and you still have a bucket list of goals that you want to accomplish. And, you know, that's a testament to all of us that, you know what, you got to set those goals, and you have to have a purpose in life. And have you ever been down, Bob? We're going to go to break in a minute, but I just wondered, has there ever been a down time for you? Has there ever been a time where you've not been so strong and you know, things have gotten you down? Has there ever been a time like that? I want you to think about that for a minute. That's not on our list of things to talk about, but I'm curious, because I think people, when they hear, you know, somebody that's very successful and has accomplished a lot, you know, it's nice to hear that, you know, even those people have down times, and that, you know, where they get their strength and whatnot. So we will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS, 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back on the show again, and we're talking to Bob Brooks. And I asked him, with all of his goals that he's accomplished and everything he's done so far in life, I asked him if there were any downtimes, because, you know, we listen to somebody that's been successful and whatnot, and we're just wondering, you know, we can't relate to this person because this person's so successful and has done so much. So many wonderful things. And so I asked Bob, I said, are there any times when things weren't so good, that they were down times? And he said, absolutely. And I asked him if it was okay if we talked about that. And he said, yes. So, Bob, I love that you're so humble and so transparent that we can talk about just about anything. I love that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So tell us a story, or tell us a time when things weren't as tough, and how you got through it and whatnot, because I think that gives hope when someone might be feeling hopeless.
Sure. We're like everybody else, our personal life, our church life, the employment life. There are ups and downs with all of those things. And the past 2 years that I was sheriff and knew that I wasn't going to be running again, we had a very contentious, you know, political battle for a successor. I was very invested in campaigning for one person of character who I really believed in, and he's not the one that prevailed. And it was a very tough time. We were on the road, and it was emotionally charged, and our department was all involved in it, and it certainly didn't turn out the way that I would have preferred. That took a lot of, you know, emotional strength from me, and it was a tremendous disappointment. And looking back, I understand exactly what God was up to, you know, looking back in hindsight. But, you know, that was very difficult for us. And during the years of our department having tremendous growth in the early part of my term, my tenure, a lot of great programs, making a lot of difference in people's lives, adding things of value. And then in the past 6 years, having to dismantle so many of those things because of the county and state economy, it was very difficult to see those things that you'd invested a lot in, just being disregarded and going by the wayside, like a lot of things have in this economy. So those were tough times. And I think the toughest times for me, personally and organizationally, was being let down by people that I put my confidence in and expected more of. And when that happens, that's always painful. You feel a sense of betrayal, and, you know, you learn not to put your trust in people, and you move on.
At least not in those people.
Right.
Right.
Well, you learn to not put complete trust in people.
Oh, in people. I see what you're saying. You put your trust in the Lord.
Are fallible.
I gotcha.
Including me. And
yes.
If you take your eyes off God and you put too much reliance in people, you can be disappointed easily.
Boy, you know what? There are so many little seeds that you're planting that I'm sure people, they're either getting it or they're not. But, I mean, you're planting so many seeds right now just in the way you're saying what you're saying, as far as people will let you down, but God won't let you down.
Right.
You know, that's basically what you're saying. And, you know, don't put too much faith in that. Put your faith in the Lord. You know, but you say it without saying it the way, you know, you'd read it in the Bible. But yet the principle is so there that I hope people aren't missing what you're saying, because you have so many golden nuggets right here in this conversation we're having. I'm loving it.
Well, you know, Jesus said that he didn't entrust himself to them because he knew what was in man's heart.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even his best friends, you know, the 12 that were with him for 3.5 years, he knew their limitations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loved them unconditionally, but they were limited, and there were times they turned their back on him, and times that they did some foolish things, and times that they didn't get his message. And it didn't mean he didn't love them. And but he also understood that, you know, that there were some weaknesses there. And people are very much like that. And the longer you live, the more you come to appreciate that.
Right. So what was it like living in your house? Did you guys pray every day at home?
You mean
at your
right
house?
Right now, or when I was growing up?
When you were growing up, before you were married, but then, you know,
no.
As you being the head of household, did you, what was it like when you were growing up? Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did not.
You did not?
My dad and mom were immigrants from Canada. They came here when I was 3.
Uh-huh.
They had to get married very early in life. Dad was a printer. He had only made it through the 7th grade. He was dyslexic and couldn't do well in school, plus he had to support his family. So they came here with really no prospects. The typical first-generation immigrants, they worked very hard. My dad taught himself English, put himself through real estate school, became a successful broker, and about the time I was 15, he met Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I remember coming home at the, after school when my dad would be getting home, and usually he'd come home and have a couple of martinis before dinner. Never saw him drunk, but he would, drink socially on a regular basis. And then he'd be drinking his martinis and reading a Bible, and then he'd be drinking his martinis and listening to a teaching tape, and then the martinis started to go away. And I thought, what's going on with Dad? So, he and then my mom came to the Lord a short time after, and about a year after that at a Christian camp at a forest home in the San Bernardino Mountains, I received the Lord. So I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And, after probably within a year of the time that I received the Lord, I was in sports and work and not around the house a whole lot. And really, my relationship, with my dad and mom really is much, much greater as an adult than it was even as a child. I was loved as a child, but we didn't share faith in common. And, we were both, during the times that I was at home, all new Christians trying to find our way across. And, I have a great relationship with Mom and Dad, and they've been serving the Lord there in their 80s and have been doing that nonstop. And so I have tremendous respect for them.
What an awesome story that is. And so what was it like at your home, as you being the head of household? What was it like? Did you have dinner around the table and pray before you eat? And did you pray before you went to bed? What was it like?
Well, we did all of those things. We're very, very invested in being good examples to our kids and modeling our faith with them. It was a mandate of my wife's that we eat dinner together. I mean, if it's not an emergency, we're going to sit at a table. We're going to talk about what happened during the day. She was very involved in the kids' school. They went to a private Christian school for most of the time until they went into high school. And we would pray with them at the end of the day when they were young and read Bible stories together and constantly trying to stimulate faith and ask questions and have discussions about things and expose them to service opportunities. We weren't perfect parents, but it was the number one priority in our life.
And you both worked together in unity. You each had your own responsibilities, but you worked together as a team?
We always have been. We've always participated in parenting our children together. That was, we all had different roles in that, and we had two boys. So I, as a dad, you had a different role than a mother would with sons, and you became more and more important as they got older. We treasured those times, and our kids are still, our best friends, and we love the relationship that's been established and how it's continued over time.
It is really important. There's a lot of single parenting going on. And when you do have both parents, I see so many times in families where, the husband and wives, they need to be mom and dad, and there needs to be both parties there. If you can, if you're a single parent, don't feel bad. Just do the best you can.
And God gives you grace
yes.
for the situation that you're in. And I know a lot of heroic single parents, dads and moms, that do a tremendous job with their children. Some of the best young people in our youth group at church have been raised by single moms,
right?
Who just made that their number one priority in life. They still had to make a living, and they still had to provide for their children. But boy, that was they were going to make sure they did that part of the job right.
That's right.
And I really applaud them. It's so much harder.
Me too. It's difficult enough with both parents involved.
Absolutely.
One being both is really, really hard. So I applaud that too. I have a sister that was doing that for a while, and it was really hard on her. So I think that's really good information for, just hearing from somebody that's gone through it. And I heard you, about the workplace too, because there's this line that's very difficult. I was watching football last night, Tebow, in that game. It was an amazing game. And to watch that game and to watch him the minute they won, and thank you, Lord, was the first thing he said. And I think it's such a witness for people like athletics, teachers, whatnot, to be able to share their faith. And he was on, national television, and I think it's wonderful. He's a football player, but he's got a wonderful story, and I think it's creating a whole different scenario for everyone that's involved. And just like you, being in a position you were in, you know, there was a lot of eyes on you, and I'm sure you knew that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of scrutiny anyway. Yeah, if you're an elected official, you have people that, for political motivation, want to bring you down. The media mm-hmm. tends to not like elected officials that are too popular, and they always try to find holes, you know, in your resume and bring you down a notch or two.
Right.
You know, and you have a large workforce, and not all of them are going to be happy, and you put a lot of people in jail every year. So all of those things contribute. But it really has presented itself in terms of an opportunity, and, you know, being that it's government, being that you're an elected official, you have to be using a lot of wisdom about how you portray yourself. But there were plenty of opportunities because people knew what I stood for. I never made any secret about that. And it opened doors to speak to organizations and academic settings and churches and men's groups the entire time that I was in office that I never would have had if I wasn't. And there were a lot of opportunities in terms of personal contacts, and, you know, people knew that if something was happening in their life, I'd be praying for them, and, you know, we'd reach out to them, and we'd be there for them at times of need. And it's very much like being a pastor. You were at the hospitals, you were at the funerals, you were at the weddings. They were your extended family, and you were going to do everything you could to show them that you love them, and that reflected on who you served.
I'm sure you have some stories of things that happened that just touched you and reestablished just your faith in what was going on. There's got to be stories, or, you know, where your witness or your presence changed lives. And that feels really good when sometimes we plant seeds and we don't even know that we've planted seeds.
Right.
And we don't know the fruit sometimes, but there's other times where the fruit becomes, you become aware of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And can you remember a time where the Lord gave you the blessing of seeing some fruit, the fruition of effort?
Yeah, you know, there have been plenty of those times. And having my retirement recently, you get, you know, a flood of people's last times to make a comment about your life, you know, in letters and cards and those kinds of things. But I've gotten them over the years, too, and frequently they'd be from wives of deputies or spouses of deputies, you know, that we'd had conversations with, and we might have prayed together, that I might have shared my testimony with them, might have just encouraged them, and their spouses would reconnect with me, just thanking me for the difference that I made and how they've seen, you know, their spouse, you know, grow in faith or start going to church or start being a better dad or start being a better husband because of the contact that you had with them. And those were just wonderful medicine for me, you know, when those kind of letters would come across, and, you know, they happen regularly. It would just encourage you that you were on the right track and what you were doing was making a difference, and God really did have a purpose for you being where you were.
So the message there for listeners is, if there is somebody that has touched your life, if there's somebody that's made a difference with you or someone that you know, take the time to say thank you. Take the time to encourage that person, because you never know where that person is in their life, and they might need that encouragement, and you could be the timely person that picks them up when they're feeling down. So take the time to say thank you. Whenever you have the option or the chance, take the time to say thank you. And I think that's the message there. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. How has your work with missions changed you?
Well, you never look at the world around you the same when you've seen people in that kind of need. And part of the attraction for me when my friend asked me to go to Peru was, I just want to go somewhere where I'm not in charge, I don't have a position, nobody knows who I am, and I can just sit on the floor with a wrench and fix a wheelchair and maybe pray with somebody and just be a foot soldier. That's what I loved about being a deputy sheriff when I was a deputy sheriff. And it kind of restored that, you know, going into complete anonymity and just serving where nobody's going to notice you. Nobody's going to pat you on the back. You don't need it. That was really great. It also gave me a sense of tremendous responsibility. You know, growing up in the United States, enjoying all that we enjoy here, it's not a perfect place, but if you go almost anywhere else on Earth, there's so much worse off. And it's hard to come home and look at your finances the same way, look at your time the same way. You're always thinking, I could spend money on this, or You know, I could help somebody back down there, or I could do this, or I could go back down there. And your priorities really become much, much more different. You realize how selfish we tend to be in a more affluent culture than we are. You feel much more accountable to God for what he's blessed you with.
That's true. I was shopping with a friend for some Christmas ornaments, and I was watching this Christmas store and all the people in this Christmas store buying ornaments for trees. And inside my spirit and the thoughts that were going in my head is this money could be used to feed, and you can buy a bed for $2 for a different country. You can buy a bed for $2. And here these people are spending $200, $100 on ornaments for a tree. And it just kind of, I don't know, it set me back a little bit in my mind, just watching all of that. And it's like, okay, is this what Christmas is about? So I just had a little bit of an issue there. So what do you have planned for the near future? What's on your agenda for being the goal-oriented person you are?
Well, there are a lot of things potentially out there, and you know, I want to finish the book that I'm working on. I'm doing some leadership training work with young people in our church that we're really excited about. It's an internship program where they give a year to concentrate on service and learning and preparing themselves for the future, whatever they happen to go into. Probably will be back at Pepperdine again next year. And the real exciting thing that's coming up in March is that we are going back to Port-au-Prince, leading a group from our church there. And the pastor that I mentioned before, he was actually in a service with, you know, a couple hundred people in this cinder block building when the earthquake hit on a Sunday morning. And he was standing behind his pulpit, and all they have to work with pretty much is cinder blocks. So it was a cinder block pulpit, cinder block seats. And as he was standing behind the pulpit, he said somebody came up behind him and grabbed him by the shoulders and threw him, you know, violently away from the podium, and he ended up about 20 feet away. And he looked back to see who it was, and there was nobody there, but the ceiling collapsed right on top of the pulpit where he was standing. And he talked to the congregation. They said, there wasn't anybody there. You left your feet, and you just went flying in a different direction, then the earthquake hit, and the roof came down. So he knows that God protected him for a future purpose, and God's got something in mind for him. So we're gonna rebuild his church and you know, go back with the team to do Vacation Bible School for about 500 kids, and put a roof on that church that collapsed. And so that's kind of the next adventure in the offing, and I'm really excited about that.
And your wife Debbie goes with you?
You know, she didn't go to Haiti last time because I really wanted to check it out. It's not a terribly safe place to be.
Right.
We're still composing the team this year, and it kind of depends what skills they're looking for, whether she'll join me or not.
Uh-huh. Well, that's awesome. So in our closing minutes here, because I have some other things I want to do at the very end. So your closing minutes here, what would you say to people that are listening to this show? What message would you want to give them? For their lives, to live their lives, and whatnot, to give hope when people are feeling hopeless, just all of that. What would be the message that would be on your heart?
Well, you know, one of the things that somebody said to me years ago was you have to move beyond success to significance. And success, we tend to look at that in terms of our vocation, and people reach different levels of that. But no matter how successful you are, if you're not significant, it's not fulfilling. And significance is all about making an investment in people, you know, loving God with all your heart and soul, and loving your neighbor. And in Christmas time, when people feel alone, you know, the times that I feel disconnected, I usually start feeling sorry for myself. And that means self is sort of the center of my preoccupation at that point. When you turn that around and you start being significant in the lives of other people who may be in worse shape than you are, or lonelier than you are, or in physical need, you find that significance tends to fill that hole. You weren't meant to just get and to be surrounded by people that care for you. You were also called to care about other people and to be there for them. And that's the best cure to loneliness, I found. It's also the best cure to feeling like your life is just being spent day to day, but without having real meaning and fulfillment. If it's all about you, you're never going to feel fulfilled, because God's got a much greater plan than that.
Oh, Amen. Those are good nuggets right there. Bob, thank you so much for being on the Sue Freeze Show. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, even in your retirement. That really doesn't sound like too much like retirement to me.
No, I like to stay busy. Well, thank you, Sue. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, so as we continue on, we don't have much time left, but with the little time we have left, I just want to share a few things because there's some things on my heart. And the thing is that, you know, there are lonely people out there. And I want to speak to you. I want to speak to the lonely people out there because I want to tell you that, you know, you don't have to stay lonely. And no matter what's going on in your life, it's okay. You know, we need to have those low times to really appreciate the up times. That is true. And there are times when God wants us to be still and know that He is God. And so if you're in that point, if you're in that place right now, I just want you to understand that it's okay to feel what you're feeling. It's okay. And if you need to cry, cry. It's okay to cry. God gave us tears for a reason. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to stay there. We want to do something different so that we can be a blessing to someone else. And, you know, we need to be doing something that's going to make a difference in this world. And you might be the person that God wants to use to help another person. So we have to get you in a place to where you can be in a place where you can help other people. So I'm going to read a couple things to you right now. And here's one. It's Luke 2. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And I also want to read this. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It's actually more than one scripture, but I want to read this to you. It's Philippians 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So this is what I want to leave you with. Go on to SueFries, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and find out what you can be doing this holiday season. And if you need help, the phone number is 800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433. If you need counseling, if you need to talk to somebody right away, go on that. And if you need to just email me, get on my website, and we can talk too, because I'm here for you. God bless you, and I want to be connected to you, and God does bless you. Just look up and ask Him to show you the way. In Jesus' name, God bless. Bye.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven. In love.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary.
So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.